Hey everybody, I hope you're doing well on this fine, fine day. Happy Valentine's Day. Things have been going pretty darn well for me. Let's see, I'm trying to think of what's been going on in life lately. I got my COVID vaccine last week, which definitely kicked my butt. So it's a two-shot series, if you're not aware, that spread over 21 days. So I got a really sore arm and a bad headache from the first shot. But for whatever reason, the second shot made me feel really rough. So I got almost like flu-like symptoms. I got shivers, I had a high temp, and I had a really bad headache. But it only lasted for 10 hours. And it definitely beats getting the virus. Don't get me wrong. I am not even trying to compare the two. But it did make me feel like crapola for a few hours. So just be aware, if and when you decide to get yours, now you know. But you know what? Then again, I've spoken with people who were absolutely fine and had zero side effects. So maybe I'm just a wuss when it comes to shots. I don't know. Anyway, so I don't really have a lot of updates for today. So I'm just going to jump straight into the episode. So today's story is 100% by far, hands down, the most special story I've ever told. And what makes it so special is because I was able to do something that I have never been able to do before. I was able to ask questions directly to the victim. In all other cases I've covered and stories I've told, I've always been at the mercy of what I could find online. This time, though, I was able to hear the story straight from the person who lived through this absolute nightmare. I was able to ask questions, which is huge for someone trying to tell a story. I am beyond excited to introduce you guys to a woman who is as strong as nails, but at the same time, kind and so genuine. Please be warned, though, that this story is not easy to hear. In fact, it's the only time that I've ever had to, I'm using air quotes, take a break while I was writing the story. Today's story deals directly with the sexual abuse of a child. So if that bothers you, you may want to consider skipping this episode altogether. No doubt the story you're about to hear will leave you feeling mad, hurt, frustrated, and emotional. Okay. With that being said, you know what time it is. If you are ready for a mind-blowing ride, sit back and buckle up, because this is the story of Christy Lagurney. It was Friday, August 31st, 1979, in Flower Bluff, Texas. It was summertime, so it wouldn't be unusual for 10-year-old Christy to be swimming at the local pool, having water balloon fights, or playing hide-and-go-seek with the neighborhood kids. Her big brother Stan was never too far away if she needed anything, and at night she came home to a mom and dad who loved her and Stan very much. Not this particular day, though. Today was a special day, as it marked the end of another fun-filled summer. This particular day was the first day of fifth grade for little Christy. Like most kids her age, Christy was so excited to go back to school. She was looking forward to meeting her new teacher, seeing which kids were in her homeroom, and catching up with friends. Unfortunately, though, the excitement of her first day of fifth grade was cut short because of a stinking dentist appointment. As planned, Christy's mom picked her up from school and drove her youngest child to the appointment. You see, Christy was getting braces, and this was her last appointment before being sent off to the orthodontist. Because of this, the dentist needed to take a mold of her mouth. Christy was not handling it so well. She felt like she couldn't breathe with all that equipment in her mouth. As a result, the doctor gave Christy a little medicine to help her relax. Although it made her feel groggy and a little bit loopy, it did the job, and the dentist was able to complete the mold. Like so many of us out there, Christy's mom worked. And as we all know, work does not stop for a dentist appointment. So, because of that, after they left the dentist office, Christy's mom had to go back to work to finish up the day. Knowing that Christy's older brother, Stan, would be home in just a few hours from school, her mom felt safe leaving Christy alone on the couch to rest and relax. Once her mom left to go back to work, Christy tossed and turned, but was feeling a bit restless. After all, there was so much excitement from the day. First day of school, just getting back from this crazy dentist appointment. Unable to fall asleep, Christy decided to take advantage of the afternoon and walk to the local 7-Eleven to get some candy. This was a 3/4 mile trip that Christy had walked a million times before. It was no different than any other time she had gone. So, Christy, being a little independent 10-year-old girl that she was, who wanted some candy, grabbed her 2-year-old miniature schnauzer named Chewy and headed to the convenience store to indulge in a well-deserved treat. The walk itself was uneventful. She could have done it backwards. She's done it a million times. With her eyes on the prize, Christy walked to the 7-Eleven and bought herself a Snickers. As she was leaving, Christy was approached by an attractive woman who appeared to be somewhere in her 20s-ish. She was well-kept, with pretty brown hair, olive skin, and brown eyes. You could just tell she took good care of herself. She wore lipstick, she had a nice white creamed colored suit, and even matching sandals. Not only was her outfit on point, so was her vehicle. She was driving a new 4-door Grand Marquis. The woman explained to Christy that she was looking for her lost puppy. Christy, who, remind you, had her own dog with her, was obviously a dog lover and became upset after hearing the news that this nice lady had lost her sweet puppy. Christy was bummed but wasn't able to help and told the woman that she had not seen the puppy and continued on her way home. As she started back towards her house, she walked around to the back of the 7-Eleven and Christy could not believe her eyes. There, standing right before her, was a dog. You can imagine how excited she was to run back to the front of the store and tell this lady that she had found her dog. Thankfully, the lady was still there. "I found your dog!" Christy shouted with excitement. She was so excited to share the news that it took her a second to realize there was a man now standing next to the nice lady. There he stood, with his strawberry blonde hair and his long nose. He wore a pair of Wrangler jeans and a Western-styled shirt. He seemed quiet and unimpressive. Christy didn't focus on the man for too long, though, because she couldn't help but notice the look of disappointment on the woman's face. "Oh, that's not our dog," she said. The woman was so appreciative of Christy coming back to tell her about the dog, though, that she said this, "Hey, even though that's not my dog, I want to give you a reward." Christy wasn't really looking for a reward, though. She had done it out of the goodness of her heart, just wanting to reunite this nice lady with her dog. Christy turned down the reward, but the woman was so appreciative she wouldn't hear of it. The woman pulled out a $100 bill and told Christy that she wanted to give her some of the money because she was so incredibly grateful that she had tried to help her. Christy kind of bounced the idea around in her mind for a bit and eventually agreed to the reward, figuring $100 could buy a lot of candy. The woman then pushed it a little bit further and said, "Let me take you home and I'll give you the money." Christy did not like that idea because she knew not to ride with a stranger. Christy wasn't afraid to say it either. "You're a stranger," she said. The woman replied back by saying, "Oh, no, it's okay. I'm a nice woman. I'm not a stranger." Christy, being young and vulnerable and still a bit drowsy from the meds at the dentist office, very cautiously agreed to the ride. She said, looking back, she knew it didn't feel right getting in the car, but this was a beautiful young woman, not some big scary man that we'd all been warned to stay away from. Christy and Chewy were escorted into the back of the woman's vehicle, and just like that, the four of them drove off. Immediately, Christy knew this didn't feel right, since they weren't driving in the direction of her apartment. In fact, they were driving in the total opposite direction. Growing concerned, Christy raised the flag and said, excuse me, where are we going? Calmly, they explained that they were going to get change for the $100 bill so that they could pay Christy for her reward. Christy's instincts began to kick in, and she exclaimed, "I'm not supposed to be in a car with strangers." They continued to drive and passed store after store after store that Christy knew would have been willing to give change. Knowing something was desperately wrong, young Christy began to cry. Not wanting to deal with a crying child, they assured Christy that her dad knew where she was and that they planned on meeting up with him soon. Christy, feeling completely vulnerable at this point and at the mercy of these two adults, clung tightly onto her dog Chewy and waited. All hope was lost in little Christy's mind, though, when they approached and then passed her dad's job. Feeling totally out of control of the situation, she started to cry. The man, who she really hadn't heard much from until now, snapped at her to lay down. Eventually, she fell asleep. At one point, Christy woke up and the car was stopped. The woman was in the car, but Christy noticed the man was outside of the car using a payphone. The woman affectionately started to rub Christy's leg and she fell back asleep. The next time Christy woke up, they were at a Sonic. Now, for anyone who doesn't know, Sonic is a fast food restaurant chain. And it's really freaking good, too, by the way. I don't know if they were trying to gain her trust or make themselves feel better for kidnapping a child. But for whatever reason, they told her she could order whatever she wanted. Despite being scared beyond measure, Christy was still a 10-year-old little girl who was hungry. She ordered a corn dog, tater tots, and chocolate milk. Okay, so I need to take a little pause in the story and tell you this. When I was first reading this story, we were actually on our way to Harrisburg. We were going to Chick-fil-A. Yes, I was hoping not to have to admit to that, but yes, we were driving an hour away to go get a chicken sandwich. But anyways, don't focus on that. Focus on the fact that I was in the car with my family. And I was reading this little bit to my son, who is just 1 year older than Christy was at the time that this happened. And I got to this part and he said, "Oh, yum, that's my favorite meal too." And you guys, I just busted out crying when he said that, because it just goes to show how real, like, what am I trying to say? How innocent our children are. Of course, it doesn't matter what she ate, but that is what he could relate to. So that is what he focused on. Also, you have to remember, this is 1979. So a 10-year-old in 1979 is absolutely a different child than a 10-year-old in 2021. I 1,000% believe that. I'm sure little Christy couldn't even imagine the horror that she was moments away from enduring. Okay, anyhow, so back to the story. So they leave Sonic and they pull in next door to this seedy little side of the road motel that was like connected almost. Of course, she had no way of knowing at this time, but they were in Victoria, Texas, which is approximately 100 miles or an hour and 45 minutes from Flower Bluff, where Christy was living at the time. Christy and the woman stayed in the vehicle while the man went and checked them in and got room keys. Okay, so they enter the room and put their things down and ate. Once they had finished eating, they instructed Christy to shower. They also told her to use soap everywhere. Christy said she knew at the time that was an odd or kind of like strange request, but she complied. She was a child. So she did what she was told. When she got out of the shower, they gave her a big oversized t-shirt to put on. They fed Chewy, her dog, some leftover tater tots, and they locked him in the bathroom. These two monsters then tied this beautiful little child to the bed by her ankles. They blindfolded, bound, and gagged her. For a moment, she could see out the bottom of the blindfold, and she could see the woman standing there in her bra. She then felt what she thought was a bar of soap shoved into her rectum, followed by the man raping her. The last thing Christy remembers is hearing the snap of a Polaroid picture being taken. The amount of pain little Christy felt at that moment was too much for her tiny body, and thankfully, her mind, oh gosh, you guys, I told myself I would not cry. I apologize. Thankfully, her mind went into self-preservation mode and shut down. These two monsters raped and sodomized this innocent little child who had just tried to help them find their freaking dog that didn't even exist. Remember, that is how this all started. A little girl so excited to tell a woman that she had found her dog. I will be honest, the first time I read this, and this is where I was telling you, I could not contain my tears and I needed to take a break. All right. So the next event to this nightmare that Christy remembers is waking up back in the car. She could hear the woman pleading with the man to, quote, not do it. At first, Christy didn't really know what they were talking about, but soon she figured it out. The man was deciding if, when, and how to murder her. I guess there was some tiny, itsy, bitsy, small shred of decency left in their heartless black souls because somehow they agreed not to kill her. Eventually, they pulled up to one of those 24-hour roadside restaurants. The woman told Christy to get out of the car and wait for her dad to come pick her up. She told Christy that he was on his way to pick her up and that everything would be okay. Little Christy said she felt lost, alone, and scared because she didn't even know where she was and she had just been through the most horrific sexual assault one could imagine. She knew the restaurant name, but it didn't look like the one by her house, so she knew she was not in Flower Bluff, where she's from. So, being a young child, she did exactly what the adults around her told her to do. She sat on the curb, held tightly on to little Chewy, and waited for her dad. Sidebar, I know my animal lovers out there were wondering where Chewy was, and he is back with Christy now. When I was reading this story, I was like, where's Chewy? So Chewy is now back with Christy. So Christy sat and waited and waited and waited and waited for her dad, who of course had no clue where she was, nor was he on his way to get her because he didn't know where she was. Christy finally decided that her dad probably was not coming, picked herself up, and bravely walked into the restaurant and asked if she could use their phone. The lady working at the restaurant, of course, not knowing what the heck was going on, gave Christy a dime so she could call her mom. Thankfully, Christy knew her home number by heart and she dialed it. To her surprise, her mom, in a voice she was not familiar with, answered the phone together. She soon found out it was the police that were at her house. She told her mom she was at the diner and asked if she would come pick her up. The cops, not realizing at the time that she was not in Flower Bluff, went by the one at her near her house. So while the cops were frantically searching for her, she was able to speak to her mom a little bit more. And she told her mom, "He did it to me." Her mom then reassured her that they would meet her at the hospital. By now, the staff at the diner was starting to pick up on what was going on around them. Thankfully, they too called the police to make sure they were aware of what was going on. Christy hung up the phone and went outside to wait for the police. The worker, who had given her the dime originally to call her mom, later told the police she could see blood pouring out of this little girl. The manager of the restaurant followed her outside and said, "No, no, honey, come back inside." They got her a towel and tried to clean her up. They sat her down by the register and gave her a Dr. Pepper and a piece of pie to eat and watched over her like a hawk. Soon thereafter, the police swarmed the restaurant. They came in, they covered her with a coat, grabbed Chewy, who was tied to a cigarette machine, and took her straight to the hospital. To say Christy was glad to see her family was, probably the understatement of the entire year. After being examined, the ER doctors were well aware that this level of trauma and damage was far beyond what they were trained to handle. They knew they needed a specialist. Christy had been completely torn open from front to back. They called in specialist number one. Are you ready to feel sad and disgusted with the human race? He refused the case, saying he did not want to be involved. So they called in specialist number two. This surgeon had never even heard of anything like this, let alone had a patient under his care with these types of injuries. But regardless, he took the case with the intent of just saving this little girl's life. Surgery was complex, lengthy, and not guaranteed. Doctors told Christy's parents that she had almost bled out completely. The next few days were absolutely critical for this child's life. They had to just wait and see how her body would react to everything it had just been through. For days afterwards, Christy was packed in ice. She had a major setback days later, needing to go back into the operating room when it was discovered that she had started bleeding out again. The one thing doctors were 100% certain of was this. If, and that's if, she survived, she would never have children. These two monsters had taken that gift and so many other precious gifts away from this child. One small blessing came out of the night Christy was rescued. That was a man named Detective Gary Garrett. Detective Garrett was immediately assigned to Christy's case. As you can imagine, he became very, very close to the family over the next year or so. Christy actually considered him to be one of her best friends. For months, Christy would review lineup after lineup, picture after picture, answering question after question. Now, I would love to sit here and tell you about how all that hard work paid off and Detective Garrett located these two and locked them up and threw away the key. Unfortunately, though, that is just not how this story plays out. Despite Detective Garrett's best efforts, despite all the time and energy and resource by the family and the police, they were unable to identify these two. So, 5 years go by, and now it's 1984. Christy's family had moved from Flower Bluff, Texas to Duncanville, Texas. I Googled the distance between the two, and they're just over 400 miles from each other. Duncanville is directly north of Flower Bluff. Not long after the move, Christy's mom receives a phone call from Detective Garrett, who said he had some major news to share, and boy, did he ever. He stated that Christy's female kidnapper had turned herself in. Apparently, she had found religion and knew it was the right thing to do. Detective Garrett asked if he could come to Duncanville and show Christy some pictures. Of course, her family agreed, and soon thereafter, Detective Garrett shows up with 6 pictures in hand. He sat them down in front of Christy, and immediately Christy identified him. "That's him," she shouted. "Are you sure?" Detective Garrett said. "Yes," Christy replied. Detective Garrett smiled, knowing he had found the man that he had been searching for day and night for 5 long years. The smile on Detective Garrett's face was short-lived, though. He was about to tell Christy and her family news that he knew would absolutely devastate them. He had to look them in the face, eye to eye, and tell them that, unfortunately, the statute of limitations had passed for rape. Now, for anyone listening who is not familiar with this term, in short, it means this. Crimes are only punishable for a certain amount of time. For example, if you stole, I'm looking at a crock pot right now. I'm seeing it across in my kitchen. If you stole a crock pot from Walmart, but they didn't find out about the theft until, let's say, 25 years later, they cannot press charges on you for theft. There's only a certain amount of time that they can actually punish you for a crime. Now, statute of limitations are state laws, so each state has a different statute of limitations for each crime. There are crimes that have no statute of limitations. For example, there is no time limit on murder. So if you kill someone and they don't catch you for 25 years, they could still come after you for sure and press charges. Today, in 2021, there is no time limit for either murder or sexual assault of a child in Texas. However, back when this took place, there was a time limit, and unfortunately, it had passed. So, Detective Garrett said he would not be able to get this guy for the rape and sexual assault, but he could try to get him for attempted murder. Oh my gosh, can you imagine? So Christy's parents said, like, all right, T.O., time out. We need to discuss this as a family, and we will get back to you, Detective Garrett, and let you know how we want to move forward. Now listen, I know at least one person listening to this just said out loud, what's there to discuss? Tell the police to go pick his ass up. Honestly, I'd be lying if that wasn't the first thought I had too. However, Christy's parents took the opportunity to really think this through on both sides. One part of them thought, yes, go get him, lock him up, throw away the key, and, you know, hopefully he'll never see the light of day again. The other part of them knew that an arrest would lead to a major, major trial with a lot of media attention. Remember, they've been searching for this guy for 5 years. They knew this would open up a lot of wounds and it would expose their child's identity. You know, like, that's a lot to think about. The other thing that really concerned them was if they got a conviction, it could be as little as 6 months prison time. Apparently, this guy had a clean record minus a few minor infractions. So after a lot of time and a lot of consideration, her parents decided not to move forward with the charges. Christy did share that now that she's older, this is a decision she wished she would have pushed harder for to go to trial. Hindsight is always 20/20 though, right? So that being said, to this day, neither of those two monsters have done a single minute of prison time for the crimes they committed that day in August of 1979. So, what happened next in Christy's life? I would be lying to you if I told you the attack was the last traumatic experience that she went through, but that would be a lie. Just 3 years after they decided not to press charges, Christy's older brother, Stan, was murdered. My heart just shatters for Christy's parents. I mean, Christy, of course, too, but her parents, you know, have been through so much. So to go through what Christy had gone through and then to lose a child to a murder, nonetheless, is just horrible. I do have some amazing news to share, though. Against any and all medical and scientific logic, Christy gave birth to two beautiful and healthy baby boys. Remember, the doctors were 100% certain that the trauma that she endured that day would not allow her to conceive or carry a pregnancy, and she did it twice. Sadly, though, just 1 week before his 11th birthday, Christy's youngest son, Moxie, passed away from cancer. Right? I know. This woman has been through a lot. I asked Christy two questions. Well, excuse me, I asked her a lot of questions, but I asked two specifically that I wanted to share with you guys. First, I asked her what, if any, advice she would share specific to the attack. She said this: please give your families and children a code word and tell them not to share it. Also remember, no matter what gender a person is, they are strangers. So do you guys know what she means when she says code word? So we actually had a code word growing up, and it is my sister's birthday tomorrow. So last night we were at my parents, well, at my mom and her boyfriend's house for my sister's birthday. And I was telling them about the story and we were talking about our code word. So this is what the code word is that Christy means. You pick a unique but easy to remember word that you only share with family members, very, very close family members, or, you know, friends, if you have like a very, very close friend that you trust with your child. And then you teach your kids that they are never, ever, ever allowed to go with anyone unless they know that code word. Also teach them that if you, as the parent, have given any other adult permission to pick them up or take them somewhere, then you would have shared that code word with them. So in Christy's situation, she could have said, if my dad said it was okay, you know, for you to pick me up, what's our code word? Clearly, they wouldn't have known what the code word was, and that would have left no doubt in a child's mind, in Christy's mind, that her dad had not given them permission to pick her up. So it's pretty cool. It's easy. You know, just pick a word that is easy enough for your kid to remember, but that is unique, that it only means something to your family. You know what I mean? So anyways, the other thing I wanted to share with you all was Christy's response to this comment. I said this: Christy, you have been through more than most people go through in a lifetime. Do you have any advice for people who are going through their own battle right now? In other words, how did you manage to get through everything you've experienced? This was Christy's reply. And I am telling you, if I make it through this without crying, I deserve a medal. This is my third attempt. Okay, she said this: I never said why me or us again. I just figured I'm here for a reason. The times you struggle are the times that teach you the most. Those times will bring you closer to your family and friends. My mom has been through what I have too, if you think about it. She is 73, and we argue and we fuss and we love hard. So love on your people hard. Never give up. Oh, one important thing: never underestimate the power of love from great friends. I have friends from before this happened and soon after, and they are still my friends to this day. My tribe keeps me going on a daily basis. End quote. Christy, I want to thank you for allowing me to tell your story. You are such a strong woman. I appreciate you sharing your story with not only me, but with the world. You are so incredibly brave, and I feel certain that sharing this story will save someone's life. You have gone through more trauma than anyone should have to in 3 lifetimes. Yet, somehow, you are still caring, kind, and compassionate. You truly are a special person. And with that, guys, we will end here. Take care, have a great week, and take care of each other. All right, bye, guys.